Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 31st, 2017. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Jeff Butts, how are you?
Fantastic.
Awesome. I am so glad both of you are here. And listeners, I'm so glad you are here as well. And guys, I have a question for you. So this morning, I wrote up a piece about a bunch of engineers from Apple's Project Titan, their self-driving car project, leaving and going to a startup called Zoox that is working on their own automated vehicle program. And so with this group of engineers, 17 engineers reportedly that have left and gone over to this other company, do you think that this is a bad sign for Apple, or does it matter, or what's your take on this?
I think it's a bad sign for an Apple car to have a mass exodus of engineers like that. That means something was going terribly awry and they weren't happy. And to say someone's unhappy with the state of affairs at Apple, from everything I've heard, is almost unheard of.
Well, it's in digging in, it's people that are specifically engineers in things like suspension and braking systems. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes, they may be involved in some other areas as well, but we know about braking and suspension.
Okay, so some of the reports / rumors that we've heard have lent credence to the idea that Apple is less interested now in building building the actual hardware of the car and more focused on building the software of a car. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's a shift. Again, all of this is rumored, but a lot of these rumors have been supported unofficially or off the record, perhaps is a better way to say it. Initially, Apple went and hired a bunch of people and assembled a team from inside that was going to build not only the software and the hardware for this car or whatever Project Titan was going to be, which sure seemed like a car. And then that shifted to, maybe we're not going to build the hardware. So they have all these people working there that really don't have a job to do that suits their expertise. Mm. And so to see all of them sort of go off and, or a chunk of them go off and do this elsewhere fits. I don't necessarily disagree with you, Jeff, that this is bad, but it's not a surprise.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not seeing this as a surprise either. And my take is that these are people that, Dave, like you just said, don't have a clear purpose at Apple anymore. Or I think they may also be people that are preemptively moving because they see the writing on the wall. If Apple's not working on the physical hardware anymore, the need for those employees goes down dramatically.
Right.
So why wait for the pink slip? Why not go and proactively seek out a new job before you're unemployed?
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Yep.
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, you know, maybe I'm not clear on the scale of how many engineers are working on this.
Gods.
Okay. It just seems like 17 is a large number to just all of a sudden say, hey, we're going to be out of a job soon. We better jump ship.
Yeah, 17 is, sure, that's a significant number of people. In the grand scheme of things, I mean, there's one point where Brian was saying that he'd heard that there was like 1,000 people on this project. So if that is true or was true, 17 people going is
a drop in the bucket.
A drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
But how many other people are already gone? How many other people are actively looking for something else right now? I mean, I'm sure the project has been scaled back dramatically from what it once was. And yeah, I'm thinking if I was on the Apple Car project, regardless of what my job was, I would be proactively looking to see what else was out there just to be safe.
Well, I'll say this. You know, I live in an area that's big in the automotive industry. The Chevy Cruze is made 15 miles from my house. Mm-hmm. And General Motors, first of all, it's union. Apple's not union. General Motors, when they have a work slowdown and they haven't gotten around to doing layoffs yet, people don't jump ship. They go off into the break room and play cards or watch television and get paid for it. So There's a marked difference between how things are working out over in Apple's camp and how things work out in the rest of the auto industry.
Well, I'm having a hard time visualizing having a job where if your tasks don't exist, you still get paid and you can just go screw around in the break room.
Yeah, that's not exactly a glowing example of what unions do for the labor force.
Yeah, I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying, wow, I've never had a job like that. Wow.
Yeah. It's not as egregious now as it was 10 years ago. GM has really slimmed down both its use of unions and its use of labor workforces in general. But, you know, I can just about count on every day hearing one of the old timers from GM talk about those days of spending hours in the break room playing solitaire because they had nothing to do.
That's just crazy.
Yep.
So to bring that back around to Apple Car, and I know right now I'm just building a whole tapestry out of a single thread. Do you think that people leaving like this is, or adds credence to the idea that Apple may be working on software that a platform that they're going to license out to other car makers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they're losing the more traditional automotive engineers, the people that work on suspensions and chassis and things like that, then, I mean, unless we hear that they're hiring scabs more, it means that they don't need them, which means they're not doing hardware.
What do you think, Dave?
I don't think they're doing hardware. That's what everything's saying to us. Or maybe it's they decided they're not ready to do hardware yet. Maybe the software is moving more slowly than they planned.
That could be too.
And they need to spend time on that, right?
Okay. I hadn't thought about it from that angle, but I could totally see that.
Yeah, so, I mean, car hardware is, I mean, it's something that's constantly being iterated upon, but, you know, is Apple, perhaps this is the way to look at it. Apple has rarely, if ever, been first to the market with any given class of product. But generally, their first product to market redefines the class in a very consumer/human-focused way. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, if I can generalize about what Apple has done, that's what they do. Is there something that they can, or perhaps it's that they decided there's nothing that they could bring to the physical manifestation of a car, and this is hard to believe, but it's possible that they couldn't bring you a physical car that was going to dramatically change that. So instead, we're going to be the ones that provide the software for it. I don't know.
How about if I temper that idea and say maybe it's not that they couldn't bring a car to market that would have a profound change on the space. Maybe they realized that they couldn't bring the car to market that they want.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my guess is that we're going to be hearing about more people leaving, and then maybe from that we'll be able to get a better idea of where Apple's headed with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you are still working on your Hackintosh. And I'm curious how that's going, because you're messing around with macOS High Sierra developer beta. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And I've been very intrigued with your whole Hackintosh project. So I would love an update.
I almost don't want to talk about it.
Oh, now I want that update even more.
Everything was going fine. I was actually on the public beta up until public beta 6.
Okay.
And then when public beta 7 came out, things started to fall apart.
Like what was happening?
Something changed. Apple put in some more safeguards, I guess, to stop people from doing their Hackintosh thing. An old trick that they did with developer beta 1 resurfaced, where they started comparing the firmware with the hardware. And you had to have a certain firmware features mask in order for everything to work the way it was supposed to work.
So I'm assuming that means that if you have cobbled together your own hardware to make a Mac, that for the average person, this would be enough to stop them from actually doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Because as soon as you try to install it, it tells you, sorry, macOS cannot be installed on this computer due to an error verifying the firmware.
All right. But you've been able to work around that.
Yes.
And you've written about that.
Finally able to work around it. I was able to work around it. I was able to get it working. And then I ran into more problems, which I believe... Well, I was able to work around it by installing it with the right firmware features hex code. And it installed, and everything worked fine for a day. And then I rebooted, and I got a prohibited sign.
Oh, and that sucks.
Yeah, and when I went into verbose mode, it indicated that it couldn't load the kernel cache. So I did some more digging and poking around. And, you know, when you're playing around with beta software, things are going to happen. And sure. I play harder than most.
And I appreciate that you do that.
Yeah. And, you know, I have split my main partition, resized it again, split it again, deleted temporary partitions, merged them back into the primary partition so many times that I think my APFS container just got so mangled it didn't know what to do with itself.
Now, for clarification on that, you're talking about you're doing the whole dynamic thing where you weren't just wiping and starting over each time.
Right.
So do I take it that you're thinking that maybe because you were doing all of this dynamic repartitioning and resizing and stuff, that eventually it got to the point where APFS just broke?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was getting inode errors, which can indicate a problem with your hard drive, but this is a brand new SSD, so that's not liable to be the issue. It's more likely that it just got corrupted during multiple resizes and repartitions.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Generally, file system errors like that are not indicative of hardware damage.
Yeah.
Like you said, they can be, because when you have hardware damage, anything can happen.
Right.
But
right.
But given everything we know about what you've done to that poor drive.
Yeah. That poor drive.
Yeah. And, you know, SSDs don't have the same type of issues with the same types of hardware issues that rotational drives could have. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't see, you know, it wouldn't be a symptom of the drive failing to have those inode errors. You know, you'll see the inode errors as a symptom of a rotational drive failing because right. of the platters crashing into each other and scraping up and doing all that fun stuff.
I have that upstairs, but that's yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, it's good.
Like TIE fighters in a trench.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That's right. Yeah.
It is because they're micrometers apart from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So now in a case like that, is that something where if you just say, all right, time for a do-over, and you completely like wipe that SSD and start over, then you're okay?
Typically, yes. Yes.
Yeah. With Jeff's Hackintosh, I mean, he might have trouble getting back to where he was if things in iOS, or, sorry, in High Sierra will prevent that. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I've got it licked. I was seeing some lockups and some hard freezes earlier this morning, but I believe that was because some of my third-party drivers weren't actually on the system itself. They were being loaded from the bootloader. Mm-hmm. So I moved those onto the system itself, did a reboot, and so far it's been pretty solid.
All right, so based on what you're seeing right now, and I know I'm totally asking you unfairly to speculate, do you think that we're on track so that when macOS High Sierra officially ships, and at this point, we can probably say in the next few weeks?
Mm-hmm. September 12th.
Yeah, well, okay, here's my idea on the September 12th thing. Now that we know there's an Apple Media event on the 12th, mm-hmm. iPhone's announced on the 12th. Then we'll get the pre-orders on that Friday, which is what, the 15th? Is that right?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Friday is the 15th.
Okay. And then they will officially ship on the 22nd. So I'm going to put my money on iOS 11 officially releasing on September 20th. So 2 days before the new iPhones come out.
Yeah.
And I think that macOS High Sierra is going to follow a week or two later. I don't think it's going to come out on the same day.
You think?
Just I can't give you a solid reason. It's just a feeling I have right now.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I think they're going to come out at the same time because they've been running apace with each other.
They have been.
Throughout the whole beta process.
Yeah. And I would love to see everything come out at once just so that it's done. But I won't be surprised if High Sierra follows a week or so behind iOS 11.
Yeah, you know, they might do that just to save some server resources.
Sure. And to let people deal with one set of potential problems before they jump into another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which translates to managing your tech support staff.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
but needless to say, I had over the past 48 hours, I've had at least three occasions where I thought about hurling Valtor through the window.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because you are rushing in where angels fear to tread, and you are clearly taking one for the team so that other people can build a Hackintosh without major headaches. So thank you.
Yeah,
for that.
And you know, normally I embrace this sort of problem. I'm overjoyed when stuff like this happens. It's just been an off week for me.
Yeah, well, but you're able to soldier on. So yep. That's pretty awesome. All right, so we are pretty much out of time. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. This is a fun one.
Yep, loads of fun. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, it's great to have you here. Listeners, since we know that September 12th is when Apple's keynote event or media event is coming, be sure and follow along, because I'm sure we'll have more ideas for you before the 12th. And when the 12th comes, we're going to have coverage for you so that you're up to date on everything that Apple announces. So listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.